This is why Sauron Mandami is winning, because he's telling people, I know you're poor. And that's why
this is the Obama phone all over again.
Socialist Superman who's going to come save you.
Welcome to Rivera and Reeves, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin, because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense. Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Rivera and Reeves. I'm Sadie. I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Get that microphone
nice and close.
I know. I see you. I'm doing some last minute adjustments. As you can see, I am ready to go.
Still adjusting. I was like, bring it in nice and close.
Sorry. I'm ready.
Well, it's okay. Don't feel like we're kind of winging it. Today, again, we actually got some pretty good feedback. Like, we did a little bit of winging it this last episode. We asked for feedback on, you know, do you guys like this? How do you feel about it? It was pretty positive. I figured we'd give it a go again because my schedule's been kind of crazy. Husband is traveling, which means all of the things that he fills in the blank, I am having to do. And it's, you forget that they assist.
Yeah, they do.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I have to do all these extra things that I hadn't thought about today. And it's messed up my schedule. So,
well, also, I know that you're in day. It's election day. And
as
per, well, our tradition, our family tradition is on election day, even if off year, I don't care. If it's like a local election, we will use any excuse to not do school and just buy food and eat it. And we definitely always make Muddy Buddy Mix. Well, I don't make it. My daughters make it. And so we have Muddy Buddy Mix. So I have my own little cute bowl of Muddy Buddy Mix. And this year, she added with the chocolate chips, butterscotch chips. So it is muy delicioso. And I get so nervous because I always kind of go like
overboard with the Muddy
Buddy. Yeah, on election night with like Cheez-Its and Muddy Buddy Mix. And then future Rachel is really mad at today, Rachel, because of the like sugar crash I have tomorrow morning. But worth it. It's totally worth it.
I mean, you got to stay with tradition, though.
Yeah. Well, it's not technically election day for you in Tennessee, is it? There's nothing happening.
I mean, we have local, like, you know, boards, that sort of thing.
Right.
But there's nothing like, we don't have a governor. We don't have an AG. Yeah. We don't like have anything. Also, I mean, at the state level.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty solid here right now.
I'm in Virginia, if some of you didn't know. All of us Republicans in Virginia are like eating our feelings all day, just like waiting for the whistle to be blown for us to all accept reality. So,
well, friends, if this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button wherever you are listening. We are now on all podcast platforms and YouTube. If you want to get this ad-free a day early, community and bonus episodes, please consider becoming a paying supporter on our Substack. The link is in the show notes along with a discount code. What are we talking about today? So we're going to do kind of like an update of a summary update of what has happened in the skirmish of Tucker Carlson interviewing Nick Fuentes, which we have both already discussed in a previous episode and on our separate platforms. I did a whole article about my opinion, position, or whatever on my Substack, which is open to everyone if you want to go read that. But there have been some updates since then, because the last time that we spoke on this topic, we had not heard from, had we heard from Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation at the time that we recorded the podcast? I didn't think so.
No, because we recorded on Thursday afternoon.
Yes.
And
the statement was on Friday.
It was on Thursday night.
Okay.
Because I remember we were, right? Yeah, I was somewhere where I was like, oh, no.
It's all a blur.
Oh, no. This is not going to go over well. So, we have not talked about it.
Okay. In the aftermath, and now we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, okay? Because our thoughts and our feelings are out there because we were asked and we shared, you know, because we do what we can. But I did want to provide an update because there's now been a lot of maneuvering and a lot of changes that have happened. There's been a ripple effect that has happened since this interview played out. One of them being that the head of the Heritage Foundation, Kevin Roberts, put out, he made a statement on his ex, And many of you have already seen the statement. If you want to see the full statement, it is in that Substack article that I mentioned on my Substack. It's Masady.com. And it's a, I don't know, like a 4 or 5 minute statement. And a lot of things stood out to people specifically about it, where he basically, I don't know, it wasn't the best statement. It wasn't well received. And he did not directly address in that statement the issue of, he said, you know, although I abhor what Nick Fuentes says, essentially, I don't believe in canceling. And Heritage Foundation will always stand by Tucker Carlson, that they're not separating from Tucker Carlson, because there have been reports of them removing him from their donor website or page, I should say.
Because they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they did. His name was removed. Yeah.
And so because of that removal, it led to a whole bunch of rumors. A lot of people were putting pressure on Heritage Foundation. This led Roberts to put out this statement. In the aftermath of the statement, not everybody was loving the statement. I personally didn't love it. I thought it was incomplete. I thought there was a lot left to interpretation. And when you're in a position of leadership, I think when you're going to put out a statement like that, it needs to be a whole lot clearer. Mm-hmm. And even if I completely agreed with him, I think it would need to be a whole lot clearer because of the position of Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. Well, that caused a whole thing. And it was particularly interesting because Heritage Foundation has a one voice policy. In that one voice policy, it means that nobody that's with the organization would publicly undermine or, you know, kind of like air out dirty laundry in public. Right. And that did happen. A lot of people made public statements. Then he had to follow up with a long tweet where he listed everything that he had issues with Nick Fuentes. Okay. Cool. Then he ended up doing an interview with Dana Lash, where mm-hmm. he was specifically asked about the comment that he made, or actually about the comment that Tucker Carlson made about Christian Zionists. And mm-hmm. I have that clip here.
A lot of people feel confusion because they feel as though their criticisms, which seem to be scripturally based, are being maligned as the division that is being sown, or that that's what is being described as venomous. And I think a lot of individuals find that hard to reconcile, especially when it's said in defense of someone who would say that they hate Christian Zionists, or, you know, they hate people like Mike Huckabee or Ted Cruz because they support, you know, Israel as a U.S. ally. Why doesn't that description go both ways?
That description can go both ways. What we're trying to do is eliminate that kind of venom both directions.
Is it venomous to really say that you hate Christian Zionists?
Well, of course it is. I mean, I've been really clear, not just yesterday and today, but my entire career, that and the Heritage certainly has in its entire existence, that those kinds of things are just abhorrent. I said that literally yesterday.
Because Tucker said those things. So that would be, I mean, is that not sowing division?
It's certainly not helpful, but it doesn't mean that he ought to be canceled, because if in fact,
well, that's not the question. It's not whether he should be canceled. Is that sowing division to say things like that?
Yes.
Oh, certainly.
A lot of people feel confused because
yes.
they feel as though
that was his response. Now, can I just point out that that is an appropriate interview?
Correct. That's called pushing back.
Yes.
On bad ideas or pushing back on unclear things. I used to be a cheerleader, so obviously. But that right there is an example of how you do not allow someone. And I don't think Kevin Roberts was trying to hijack the interview. I think he was genuinely like deer in the headlights, like, oh my gosh, yeah. I better get this right. That's how you target the idea and dissect it and have that person explain clearly, even when they avoid it or even when they try and like hope that the question is not going to be, you know, restated. She handled it exactly how Tucker should have handled the entire interview with Nick Fuentes, pushing back, asking for clarity. And then when someone doesn't give it to you, ask again and again and again. Don't give him an out, really.
Which was my major issue with that interview with Nick Fuentes. It wasn't like, you can't have him on or how dare you or anything like that. It's like, why are you basically just sitting there?
Well, so that's the bummer about the whole thing is like the tragedy of that interview is totally being sidelined with all of this conversation about someone trying to cancel Tucker. No one's trying to do that. Like, I'm sure that there's some people out there who would love nothing more than for him to be off the airwaves, but everybody knows that's not going to happen. Nobody's putting forth a genuine effort to get his, I don't know, podcast demonetized or something. They know that's not going to happen, even if they wish it did. So they're having that conversation and not talking about what actually needs to be talked about, like the Nick Fuentes problem, the problem with young males in our country that are imbibing this and saying, you know, starting to kind of get flirt with this guy. You know what I mean? And Kevin Roberts' first statement didn't help. And sadly, well, I don't think
that... he did those follow-up. He did that follow-up interview. He did a follow-up statement. It's clear that they're trying to kind of... because
damage
look,
control.
Correct. Because they're having people pull donations, funding. Mm-hmm. They have people resigning.
Yeah.
There was a report from The Hill that the individual that actually wrote that statement was, I forget his first name. I know the last name is Newhouse. Nicholas. Nick. I think it was Nicholas Newhouse. And so he was the chief of staff to Kevin Roberts. The reports, I'm giving you guys the information. I don't have exactly an inside scoop here, but the reports are that he was the one that wrote the statement. Essentially, it sounds like, at least the way that we're being presented the story, Kevin Roberts took the statement, read it publicly, posted it, and did not have a full understanding of the entire discussion that it was happening online or full context of what was happening online and didn't realize, I guess, the ramifications of that statement. Like, for example, Ben Dominish, he said he interviewed Kevin Roberts and that was the conclusion that he led to. I personally think that's a little bit of a cop-out. Like, if you are the leader, like, if you're the head, the spokesperson of the Heritage Foundation, arguably one of the most influential and effective conservative think tanks in the United States, you don't just, like, take a statement handed to you by your chief of staff, even if you trust him, and then just read it and not have a full understanding either of what you're reading or what the ramifications could lead to that statement.
Right. I think it kind of showed me a very clear lack of understanding of what's happening. It's almost like the academic think tank world exists over here and the online youth movement exists over here. And the two don't intersect enough for the academic bubble to understand the youth bubble or just the discourse around some of these issues that, you know, are bubbling up on the right. That to me is concerning because this think tanks like Heritage, it's not the only one, but it's arguably the most powerful. They're impacting policy and ideas in administrations and with politicians. And you have to have a firm grasp on trends and things that are happening. And for them to be so unfamiliar or out of step with an understanding of what people like Nick Fuentes, or even more libertarian thinkers online are saying, and how that intersects with politics and the different voting demographic, it just feels wildly out of touch with some of the things that are happening. And I was telling you, Sadie, that it feels like to me these think tanks need someone who is kind of embedded online and is able to kind of
like translate and communicate with them.
And be like, look, you might not think this is important because it's, you know, you didn't study this or it's not what you're seeing and the circles you run in, they don't discuss this. But trust me, this is happening over here. And one way or another, you're going to have to address it. And so let me help you understand it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how I have to go talk to my teens and be like, what does this mean? I don't understand. Can you explain it to me?
Or you message me because I'm chronically online.
Yes. But like, if you know you don't know, find someone who does and that you can trust. But to just kind of, it just felt very, it felt like they were doing cleanup afterwards. Like, oh my gosh, we waded into something that is way bigger than what we thought it was going
to
be.
And they got caught off guard.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Newhouse got first sent to, I don't know, the Siberia of the Heritage Foundation. And then he was offered the opportunity to resign. And so he decided to resign, which is basically code for You can say here's you resigned.
And here's a severance package. And
here's a severance package.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Hard way. And I don't know. I feel like I find that also disappointing.
Yeah.
Because, well, I'm just trying to find the right word. I'm not hesitant to say what I think it is. I find it disappointing because I feel like Newhouse has been kind of, he's been thrown under the bus. And without the acknowledgement of Roberts being equally problematic because you are the leader, you should have known better. Mm-hmm. Also, he then followed up with a statement today, last night at Hillsdale College.
Hillsdale College, yeah.
And even in that statement, I understand what he was trying to say in that statement, because I will say this, just like I have said that I don't think, I'm trying to see if I have, yeah, I actually do have it. How long is it? It's like 5 minutes. Okay. I was like,
okay.
I was like, but I will say that I understand what he's trying to do. I just, and I admire it, because I'm not saying, I think we should actually have the discussion. And my biggest thing is that ideas should experience friction so they can be battled out, so they can be tested. And I agree with him in the sense of, like, I don't think we should cancel anybody. I don't think we should just flat out cancel them and not be willing to have the debate or have the discussion with them. Mm-hmm. I also think it is wise, because it is clear that I think I am grateful so far of how the right is debating this issue versus how the left was just kind of like hands off and let the whole issue fester and now take them over what we're seeing happen, which we'll get into later in this episode. Mm-hmm. So I am grateful that we are practicing what we preach. We'll see how it has it pans out, but we're having a public debate and discussion for everybody to see that about this issue. Now, granted, you got like outlets like the New York Times that are trying to take advantage of.
Did you see that picture that they published? Michelle Goldberg. Sorry, you're okay. Do it.
Hold, please. Let me find
now. Michelle Goldberg is an op-ed columnist, and she is super lefty, super feministy. I've been listening. Yeah. She used to be on.
Here we go.
One of the podcasts I listen to. Anyways, she. Who is that? That is not
Nick
Fuentes.
That is not Nick Fuentes.
That is AI Nick. That's AI Nick.
Like, this is maybe Nick. First of all, he's significantly, he has to be significantly younger in this photo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And yes.
And then this Nick Fuentes was Charlie Kirk's bitter enemy. Now he's becoming his successor. Girl,
please
sit down.
Get out of here.
No, I don't think, like, I'm bringing this up because the public debate that we're having is being like, I guarantee you the left is going to jump on this and see, I told you they were Nazis. They're completely fine.
Yeah.
And for example, there, I think, let me see if I can find it in this article, but here, she brought up this quote right here that says the conservative writer Ron Dreher, a close friend of Vance, warned, I'm told by someone in a position to know that something like 30 to 40% of DC GOP staffers under the age of 30 are groypers, which if, for anyone who is new to Nick Fuentes, those are his minions. Groypers is what they call themselves. Okay.
But like, first of all, bad journalism, because even he says in the article, like he has no way of confirming that. It's someone's opinion. They're also flagging Rod Dreher like he is besties with Vance. And yes, they know each other and they, I think they've had meals together, whatever. But he's even said in other Substacks, I believe. Yes. Or interviews. He hasn't been able to contact Vance since he took.
He doesn't have a direct line to him since he's been elected. And
he knows that. And he said it. He's like, we're friends, but I can't get a hold of the guy if I wanted to. He's the vice president now. This is just how it works. So it's all very strategic. It's a psyop. And it's so clear. This is exactly what they want. They want to have the Hitler moment. Because they've been doing this with Trump for like a decade, you know, and I think that this is very convenient how there are some very ill-advised, unwise people on the right who are carrying Fuentes's water like he's America first or something, which we discussed last week. He is not.
Yeah. And I had Nick Fuentes first opinions about on my Substack.
Of course. So they're going to capitalize on the hopefully what will stay a small sliver of the right. And they'll be like, we told you all along. They all are white supremacists and they're going to try and make him look glossed over and apparently attractive because it's going to draw clicks and gain attention. You know what I mean?
Well, and I mean, I was setting that up because I was thinking through this. And I think this is what Kevin Roberts is trying to do. And it's like, there is no question that there is an issue with young men because they feel disaffected. And this is one of the reasons that Fuentes is attractive to a segment of these young men.
Yeah.
That, in addition to all of the economic issues that we currently have, there's a lot of things that young men feel like that they have, they're reactionary more than anything else. And I think what Roberts is attempting to do, I hope, I mean, I don't know if this is generous, you tell me, is that he's trying to tread between not doing what the left did, which was just immediately ostracize all, especially white Christian men, and say, we want nothing to do with them. They're all bad.
Yeah.
He's taking that into consideration of the reaction to that, which I would argue has led to the situation we're in right now.
Yeah.
No, and he's trying to like gently be like, okay, all right, I hear you. Now let's bring it back. Let's have a discussion about this. Let's not just cancel and ostracize them. Let's try and see if we can like bring them back. You know what I mean? From the abyss, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that it was one of those moments. Look, I don't know Kevin Roberts personally. I know people who know him, but I've never spoke with him. But I have heard from everyone I know that knows him or knows of him or knows people that know him that he's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
He just, hopefully what this will do moving forward is it will encourage these groups and these organizations and the spokespeople for them, the leaders in them, to really think carefully about how we categorize large groups of people, what we talk about, how we use our words, how blind allegiance to people just doesn't work anymore. It's not like the fact that he would even say we're always going to stand with Tucker. I don't ever say
that. I just thought his entire statement was crazy.
We're not always going to stand with anybody.
Anybody.
Like, don't,
because he was like, God for, what was it? He's like, God first, America always. I can't remember exactly how he phrased it. And then like five, you know, breaths later, he's saying like anyone who's going after Tucker is a venomous, you know, Like, I can't even remember right now off the top of my head.
It's not good.
But it was not good. And then he's like, we'll always stand by Tucker. And I'm like,
no, let's not say that. Both.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85-plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Ways.
And especially when you can speak for yourself if you really want to say something
not for
like
the
that.
Entire
like,
organization. Oh,
you can't do that for an entire organization. No wonder some of these people are like, I'm going to bounce, because that is. It got carried away and he got away from himself and it was a really bad statement and he knows it now. And I don't envy his position that he's in. I think, you know, without knowing the inner workings of the organization, I just think that they just took a big hit and I think it's going to take him a while to recover from this, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I don't think this is me. I find it interesting.
No, it's
that
not the end of heritage or anything like that.
And I don't think it's like, you know, everybody's like, this is, I think it's disappointing that this is what we're distracted with right now when there are significant other stories that are important.
Yep.
So there are other like the left is just loving this, especially like you saw that op-ed from the New York Times.
Oh,
like
yeah.
They want this. They want this to be true. They want to manifest this. And there's no question that with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we're going through a little bit of a growth. I don't even know what the term is.
It's a transition, though. This is a transition.
Yeah, it's a transition phase. And we'll see how it pans out. I am grateful, though, that it is happening and that it is being debated, unlike what we saw happen with the Democrats, where there was a rise in anti-Semitism within their party, among other problematic issues.
And it hasn't gone away.
It has not gone away. Yeah. And they have allowed themselves to be led and dragged by it. Hence, we bring ourselves to today's election day. And it is looking like Zoran Mondani, for all intents and purposes, by all polling, is going to be the next mayor of New York.
Polymarket gives it a 94% chance of him winning.
So I was watching somebody, because, you know, as, if you guys aren't familiar, there's Polymarket. There's also Kalshi, I think, is the other one.
Yeah,
where people can bet on who you think is going to win the election. They're actually, they're pretty good
indicators
of who's going to win. However, Kalshi has this other one where they kind of broke it down further, where it focused more on just not everyone who's betting, but people within New York that are placing bets. And it actually had it really, really close with Cuomo having an edge.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't want this episode to turn into a bunch of coping. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with these elections. We even talked about this last night on our text thread where like, I was like, I didn't even want to say some of these things out loud because I feel like either I'm delusional or I'm coping.
Right. No, I feel pretty confident saying that I think Democrats are just going to take the whole day. I think redistricting goes forward in California. I think that my state is going to elect a violent man, or at least a man with violent tendencies, to be our attorney general, and they will vote Abigail Spanberger into office. And I think that New Jersey will do the same. And
you don't
I
think New Jersey is closer?
I think it's closer for sure. I
want to
be
hopeful. He's going to squeeze it out.
I don't know. I hope he does, because Mickey, Cheryl, and Abigail Spanberger could not be less inspiring if they tried. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it to state that we watch candidates all the time. And I don't care if you're a male or a female. If you have bad ideas, I'll just say it. And Abigail Spanberger, we have a track record with her here. And she is a candidate with no original ideas and actually defends some pretty harmful ones. And so I'm really bummed out. Virginia had a chance with Winsome Sears, and some people don't like the way she campaigned and they think she's a weak candidate. I've heard that, but she's principled and Spanberger isn't. And I just can't believe we're going to step right over Miara's. And after JJ, I can't comprehend it. If I'm honest, I'm looking at this and going, Democrats today are going to tell everybody that they're fine with violence because of Jay Jones. They're fine with male in female spaces, Spanberger, and they're fine with communism with Mamdani. That's what Democrats are endorsing today through their vote. Now, if I would be so happy if I'm wrong. I just don't think I am.
I mean, I think in order to be wrong, especially with Mamdani. So Mamdani currently, his polls have held him on the low end 10 points ahead of Cuomo, high end 20.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the most recent poll, which I believe was from Atlas, if I'm not mistaken, that he came in within the margin of error. So there were only four points separating Cuomo and Mondani. Now, the early voting has been very 50 and over. So there's a possibility there because reports are that 50 and over favor Cuomo, but all signs are pointing towards Mondani. And it's significant because the question is, what happens with the Democrat Party if Mondani wins? And I think we have to come to the realization that we've talked about that we're in a new era of politics. And clearly Trump was a symbol of that. Mm-hmm. But what is happening is that it's no longer like Mondani is not about policy. Now, I mean, I don't even know if this is different because Cuomo and Mondani are both not great candidates. And what is being chosen, in my personal opinion, is personality. It's that Cuomo has a ton to overcome because of his track record. And Mondani is just more fresh-faced. He's fresh-faced. He looks fun. He looks like a normal person. He is.
Well, and he tells youth what they want to hear. He tells them.
Yes. Even if he's lying.
My version of socialism and communism, because communism is just socialism on crack. My communism is better than you being poor right now in New York. And I've heard that from multiple people talking and sharing their feelings. Man, the man on the street videos that have been done in New York are the most fascinating of any I've ever seen. People have no original thoughts. They're just spoon-fed information and they regurgitate it. But that people don't actually understand that he can't just give you money. He can't just tell. He has to implement this. And what's going to happen is he's not going to be able to push through his policies that he promised. And then he's just going to blame billionaires and
and the Democrats because Hochul is the governor. Yeah.
And what's going to happen. And everybody's going to be upset and mad. And it's going to work. And then there's going to be a new level of extreme that they're going to have to go to. But these people on the street all but say, they have like some kid who's like, so I saw one today. What socialist country?
Oh, I have that one. Would you like to see it?
Yes, please.
Yes.
I would.
I actually have that one. Hold on, please.
That kid's good too. He's a good.
Nick Shirley. Here we go. All right. Let's see. What socialist country do you think
Who are you voting for mayor? I like Cuomo, but I think Mondani might be pulling the lead a little bit with me.
What's your favorite example of socialism that's worked?
I don't have a big example of it, of socialism.
Like between Venezuela, Cuba, Soviet Union, what's your favorite one?
Man, you put me on the spot. I'm going to have to go Cuba. I'm going to have to go Cuba. Yeah. Let's go there. It's just so complicated for me. I got so much information in my head, but I'm going to go with that.
You don't. So much information in
Democratic
his head.
Party.
I mean, I hope so.
Who are you voting?
I mean, for real.
I've never had so much information in my head that I couldn't answer one question.
I couldn't answer the basic question that you're asking me.
That's what they're all like. All of them, they have no basis for why they're voting for him whatsoever, except for what he has lied and told them he's going to do. And they believe it for whatever reason. Either they don't understand how politics works, but this isn't even politics. This is just people can't come in and just say, I'm going to give you a bunch of free stuff. And it works like that. Because if it worked like that, it would have been done before. This is not, it's not how it works. And it's not how it's worked anywhere. It's never been a successful model for governorship. And so it's just really sad, honestly. And I think that they're bored with their options. I don't know why Cuomo run. And I do think one of the stories that no one's talking about, but will be talked about when Mondani wins tonight is, and I don't even live in New York, and I am frustrated with Sliwa. Sliwa?
Sliwa, yeah. And that he stayed in.
I am frustrated with him. He should not have stayed in. And I get it. I would prefer him over either of the other two. But the point is that at some point we need to accept reality. And the reality is you are not going to win, period. So by you staying in, it's simply sabotaging the only chance, I guess, they were going to be given to avoid Mondani. I don't like Andrew Cuomo, and I don't think he's a good leader, but between the two, an old flawed Democrat is better than a new, never had a job communist. Like, what?
How did you see him? He was asked what a Democrat socialist is.
He doesn't have an answer. No.
I have his answer.
Okay. Let me get some Muddy Buddy mix. I want to watch it.
I have his answer. I just think it's an utterly ridiculous answer. Let me pull it up here. But to me, if you listen to his answer, it is very much a word salad answer. Uh-huh. It is a more skilled version of mm-hmm. our last word salad creator.
Kamala.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Let's listen.
Jesus, I can't vote for you because you're a communist.
I said there are reasons you might not want to vote for me, but let's be honest about my politics. I'm a democratic socialist, no matter how many times President Trump calls me otherwise.
Yeah, explain the difference. What is the difference between a Democrat, a democratic socialist, and a communist?
Mm. Well, I'm a democratic socialist who's also a Democrat.
Right.
And when I say I'm a democratic socialist, I explain it in the words of Dr. King from decades ago, mm-hmm. who said that call it democracy or call it democratic socialism, there must be a better distribution of wealth for all of God's children in this country.
Right.
And what I actually find is that when you're speaking to New Yorkers, they ask you less how you describe your politics and more whether there's room for them in that politics. Right. And New Yorkers are asking me, does your politics have room for my struggle to afford my rent, my childcare, my groceries? And frankly, President Trump ran an entire campaign focusing on the cost of living, focusing on the promise of cheaper groceries. And his inability to do so is now making him increasingly desperate to try and stop the campaign that will actually deliver on the same diagnosis that he shared.
Yeah.
He said nothing. He said nothing.
You don't think that was a clear answer?
No. And what's really interesting to me is he can't seem to understand that communism is just socialism that is just more extreme. Also, a lot of the stuff that he advocates for is communist. He wants everything communally owned. He's already said that he wants to abolish like private ownership. He said that in a video, like with his
he
words.
He said the means of
yeah, he wants to do that. It's like he hates capitalism, even though he probably, I don't know if he has said that out loud, but he absolutely
hates
it.
He says, I have many criticisms of capitalism,
okay.
is how he frames it.
In fact, I even think I believe I saw on Twitter, I could be wrong, but I believe I saw that he tweeted the actual tagline of communism, from each according to their ability to each according to their need. That's a communist trope. Like, I get that we only view like the Chinese as the Communist Party, but it runs throughout all of his politics and all of his policies. He just smiles more and like laughs and makes himself ready. And so people,
let me
ask palatable.
You this. Yeah, let me ask you this, because there's a debate happening, or I don't know if this is people just coping, but it goes something like this. Mondani wins in New York. First of all, a lot of people are like, why do we care? There's some people who are like, why do we care about New York? First, it's a major city. It is a city that's basically a country.
Right.
And it has all kinds of people in it. And it is the hub of the United States economic system, our powerhouse.
That's why we care. Yes.
And that is why we care.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of people who are saying, like, let New York choose Mondani. It'll be horrible. And that will favor Republicans come the midterms and moving. I don't know if it's going to have enough of an effect by the midterms, but definitely for the next election.
Right.
Like, do you think that's valid, or do you think it's going to be enough? Because I really think that this is also about personality.
I don't think it's valid because he, like I said, we have short-term memory voters in our country. We have voters that don't understand civics and they don't understand how policy actually impacts their communities. And we have voters that are told something and then they believe it. And so that's why you can have all of these politicians that fail upwards. If coming in and ruining a state qualified you to get kicked out and to stop doing the things that you were doing, then Gavin Newsom would be out of California. They even ran a referendum on him. They were going to try and oust him. And even with how poorly run that state is, I came from there. They still didn't vote him out. And so you can fail upwards. No, what's going to happen with Mamdani if I don't know. It could not happen, but I think it's going to. Is he's going to get in there and he's not going to be able to effectuate change like he's promising to New Yorkers.
Well, there's no question.
And then he's going to use all of the words that all of these buzzwords that the youngsters like and that the old boomers like, because I saw a whole lot of boomers, you know, Jews for Zoran, boomers for Zoran. He's going to use all of the tag words. You know, this is the billionaire class. This is capitalism gone awry. This is, you know, the old guard. They're keeping us down. And what I think that will eventually lead to, maybe not in New York and maybe not with Mamdani, but it'll be an even further push to the left to effectuate this change that they think that they want, but they don't understand is destructive. So And what happens in New York doesn't stay in New York, just like what happens in California doesn't stay in California. And it hasn't. It's spreading. And that's why you're seeing people right like Mamdani popping up. Yep.
Yeah. Like in Minneapolis, AOC, Bernie Sanders.
No, it's just, it's even a fast march to the left.
There is a DSA, I think I may have mentioned this already, but there is a DSA candidate for governor in Georgia right now.
Yeah. Right. Yes. And you mentioned it on the last.
Yeah, she's young. She's Palestinian Muslim.
When you, I think I had a moment where I realized, because I was sharing about it on Instagram yesterday. When you were talking about her, because we showed a video and everything about her. Was she the one that was backed by CARE?
Yes, and I have that video, by the way.
Do you have the one about Soran?
Yes, I do.
Okay, excellent.
So we're going to, because that was the next thing I was going to bring up, is like, where are all of these people coming from? Because Mamdani was nobody. He was a nobody assemblyman in New York that hadn't proposed hardly any legislation, if anything at all. And the last thing he had done before that was that he went shirtless in some food cart in a rap video. Okay.
Ew, no. Oh, yeah. The one, wasn't his mom in that?
No.
I feel like maybe his mom was. Oh, no. She's like a producer. She is.
Yeah. So she may have produced it or something
she
like that.
She did not rap.
She was not the rapper in it. Okay. But I'm going to play this clip. So this is Linda Sarsour. She is horrible.
Well, you'll know her. Many people know her. At least where I was introduced to her was right after Trump was elected.
The Women's March.
The Women's March. Yeah. Because she led it with like three other gals.
Yeah. So I'm going to play and just listen to her closely as she gives us a little peek into the rise of Zora Mamdani.
Right now, I'm a little more quiet because I'm on the quiet side of this race. But I'm going to tell you that once November 4th comes around, I will tell the story. The story is not just, that it's random that Zohran ascended to this place. It is our Muslim American communities. And I'll also say that it's Muslim money. The PACs that have supported Zohran, or a particular PAC that has supported Zohran, is probably over 80% of Muslim American donors in this country. High net donors, grassroots donors. And I want to make the point that the Unity and Justice Fund PAC, which is the CARE Super PAC, was the largest institutional donor to the pro-Zohran PAC in New York.
So when I posted that yesterday on Instagram, that video, the usual suspects came out of the woodwork and they were like, so basically that's exactly the same as Christians donating to Christian candidates or AIPAC donating to Jewish candidates. And I was like, okay, yeah, but it's
talk about who CARE is though?
Yeah. Can we talk about not just that, but also the fact that fundamentally Muslims and their faith does not align with American values. It simply does not. Now they can come here and assimilate to American values if they'd like, legally. But the point is that many of them do not seek to come here and assimilate. They seek to come here and change their environment and their communities to resemble where they came from. That's not the same. So I don't view it as the same, but I did have people in the comments very much like, well, it's exactly the same as you voting for a Christian candidate.
Well, also, I think the issue with CARE specifically is their funding and affiliation with terrorist groups.
Yeah. I mean, that also is concerning, maybe even more so than what I mentioned.
Like, that would be my primary issue. Like, because I can even be like, look, if you're like, you can come here, religious freedom.
Yeah.
With assimilation. Okay.
That's the second part.
That's
there it
the
is.
Thing. With assimilation to the values, to the constitutional values and principles
of America,
of the West and the United States of America. Okay.
Right.
Those, they have to work together. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you're being funded by an organization and you're claiming that you're for the common man and I'm a good guy and I'm here and it's grassroots and that's all this is, and you're getting huge dollar donations from outside sources through a PAC that has affiliations and support for terrorist organizations and or sympathizers like the Muslim Brotherhood, I think that is a much more significant problem. Okay.
Correct.
I don't even care. I don't even care if you were, I would have a problem if you're Cuomo getting a whole bunch of PAC money from CARE. Like,
right.
Because the focus and the principles and what CARE wants to promote are very different than what we would want here in the United States.
Well, and okay? Like legitimately dangerous.
Yeah. So like we don't even have to get into it. Like that to me is the bigger issue. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I need the sweater's making me
getting sweaty. I just don't think tonight's going to be a good night for Republicans. I don't. And I'm living in a state where this is not good news. We've had great governorship over the past 4 years six years.
So the whole situation in Virginia really fascinates me.
Yes.
Okay. Because like New Jersey, I think right now is the closest out of these races. And it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility for New Jersey to flip and choose Cittarelli over, I forget her name. I lost. Cheryl. Yes.
Nikki Cheryl.
First of all, Nikki Cheryl is a Democrat. New Jersey typically does not stay with the same party in the governorship for 3 terms.
Mm-hmm.
Usually after, like, once you've had a Democrat or a Republican twice, they historically have always switched over.
Yeah.
So right now is a time for them to do a switchover. Over the election, one of the largest shifts to the right was in New Jersey. I mean, it was like this close, I think within 6 points of choosing.
Yeah, it's not
Trump.
A blue state. It's not a solidly blue anymore. It's purple.
And I think they're also having some bleed over and reaction to Mondani in New York City.
It's a little too close for comfort for them.
Correct. I think in New Jersey, there's still some possibilities. Also, Scott Pressler has been up in New Jersey working a whole lot. And so there's still a possibility there, although I agree with you. It's going to be close. It's going to be close. Virginia, however, to me,
I was wrong. It's been 4 years. He has been in office for 4 years.
Okay. Well, to me, it's been like a case study because Youngkin won, especially on the parental rights issue.
Yep. And I remember watching that implode. I remember the night that McAuliffe made that stupid statement and I heard it live and I was like, you're done. Your entire campaign just ended right there. And he knew it as soon as it came out of his mouth and everybody there knew it. And I was watching it live and I just looked at my husband. I'm like, he is done now. Like, this is not great.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was almost as bad as like we defeated Medicare.
Yeah. That feels like ages ago, by the way.
Ages ago.
Yeah, but it's going to be very interesting here that it could go from, I mean, the parents were so on fire when they voted for Youngkin.
And it's like you said, people have no memory.
None. And it was a decisive victory for Youngkin. Parents had it. They were done being told what could and could not happen to their children. There were fights at school board meetings. There were parents that were treated horribly for simply being
people arrested. It was wild. It was wild, wild west.
And when you live here in Loudoun County, it's a very small area, even though it's huge. And everybody knows everybody. And so you would meet when you're out to dinner, like the guy that was arrested and on the front page of all the newspapers, who was simply there because his daughter had been abused, essentially. And it was a defining moment. He won. And Loudoun County, Fairfax County, they are so reliably blue. It's like they vote against all of what's good and true and against their own interests, especially the interests of their children.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily against their interests. I was about to say. I think right now, can we also asterisk on this, the government shutdown?
Yeah. Well, like I said yesterday, I made my prediction on Instagram that I think that the
shutdown's going to end.
Yeah, they'll call it within the next couple of days. They'll reopen it, especially I think that they're going to have a really good night tonight and they're going to be like, okay. So we can do this thing because they're distracted with this overwhelming win. And especially, too, no one's really talking. I mean, people in California are talking about it. But I feel like the real national story should also focus on California. Because if the redistricting goes through with Prop 50, you're looking at And Trump knows it. I mean, he was tweeting about it this morning about getting rid of the filibuster because he's basically like, if California goes through, we're done. Like midterms, you know what I mean? We're
not going to be able to. Yeah, but also, like, can I point out that it's frustrating because you're done because you didn't campaign, you didn't invest, you didn't like spend time early on in California dealing with this situation. Okay.
And
you
California
have that gain in Texas.
Yes. Yes. I know. California Republicans are notorious for staying home too. If every single Republican in California got off their tuchus and went and voted, but they just don't, especially in off years.
They feel defeated too.
Well, and they feel like they're never going to win. Well, I'll tell you when you're never going to win, when you don't vote. So it's a both sides problem. And if this goes through, it's going to change a lot.
Well, and
impact how much the Trump administration can get done.
That, and also I'm thinking about, like, this is right now, if we're going to talk about who's going to run for the Democrats, Newsom is going to, for sure.
I know he's been
wishy-washy and everything like that. I think AOC will, but the primary is going to be lit for the Democrats.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have that. You're going to have, what's his name?
I don't know. What
Tapatio,
is his name?
Tapatio, like the guy.
Tapatio.
You know who I'm talking about, though, right?
Tellerico.
The one who's Tellerico. There it is. Okay.
Do you know who Tapatio is?
I thought it was him. I know what Tapatio is. I use it all the time.
But there's a caricature. There's a children's cartoon in Spanish, like in Spanish television.
Oh, I have never seen that.
Of this little puppet mouse. His name is Tapatio.
Okay. No, I did not know that. But that, now that's funny. I didn't mean to be funny. I was inadvertently funny. No, you got Tellerico. You've got Newsom. You've got AOC. Kamala is already hinting about coming back and doing that. You've got Shapiro. You've got Andy Beshear. They're saying out of Kentucky.
Who dressed up as Mr. Rogers for Halloween, which was...
I was actually hoping when I saw him in that press conference that he was dressed up. Otherwise, I was like, that is a little too on the nose.
He was.
Sir.
He
Please
was
do not wear that red cardigan
Mr.
again.
Rogers.
So they do have a stacked bench. They really, really, really do. But I think it's going to be AOC.
That's going to get the nomination?
I think she'll be like top three.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I mean, in regards to this Prop 50, mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom is going to take this.
He's going to put it in his pocket. Yes.
And he's going to be in court. Like, you think he is annoying right now?
I do want to say this, though. If it is Newsom, then I will pray for Vance to be the nominee for Republicans because it will be so entertaining to watch them debate.
It will be.
And I mean that truly. Like, I'm not saying how I said it would be entertaining to watch Trump and Biden because that's not entertaining. It's just kind of sad. They would be genuinely interesting because they're both charismatic. They're both intelligent. And Newsom, even though I think he's extremely deceptive, and my gosh, please don't become the president of the United States. They would really have a great back and forth, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about AOC, except like with AOC, it would be like a bloodbath.
What I'm saying is it wouldn't be as entertaining because Vance would just chop her down to size so fast. She wouldn't know how to handle herself.
For sure. Did you see the clip of Newsom saying that he can't stand politicians who lie?
No, I didn't. That exists. He said it outside of his mouth.
Not just in his mind. No, I will share it with you.
That's rich.
Nothing I dislike more and the politician that sits there and lies to you. And we all just sit there rolling our eyes going, give me a break.
Did you legitimately believe that he was capable of serving as president until January of 2029?
Yeah, I think my focus was frankly situational. It was making sure Donald Trump would get back into office.
So he's just like lying right now.
Everything experiencing today.
This guy.
And there was no interaction I had that suggested otherwise.
What do you say to Americans?
That was him on... That was this him guy. On Meet the Press. And I just
this
thought
guy.
That
no
was
shame.
Hilarious.
No shame at all. That, I hate it when they lie. Smug. And then he sits there and he lies to her. Oh, gosh. Please don't let him be the president of the United States. I could not. I'm quitting if that happens. I'm not looking at the headlines anymore. If he becomes the president. I'm out. It's been real, guys. But that is.
She's like, two sis.
That is
like,
my.
Like, always sharing that meme of, like, throwing yourself out the window.
Yes,
she's like, I'm
that
done.
Is me. Yeah.
I'm gone.
It would end.
Oh, my gosh.
It would end then.
That's so funny.
Been a nice ride, but no.
Before we move on, I did want to pick your brain about one thing, because I found it interesting, a few things. Like, the campaign for these three elections. One, so Mondani got support last minute endorsement, so to speak, last minute from, like, Hakeem Jeffries. And I don't think Chuck Schumer has ever put his support behind
him. Hakeem and Barack Obama both gave these, like, tepid endorsements, even though they weren't endorsements.
Well,
which I can't stand even more. I'm like, you guys could not be more fake. You totally want him to win because you don't want a Republican to win. But you know you shouldn't want him to win because he stands in opposition of everything that American values stand for. So just say, no, I'm not going to endorse you. Or say a full-throated yes. But the wishy-washy in the middle, yeah, I don't like it.
Well, Hakeem Jeffries was asked about whether or not Mondani is the future of the Democrat Party. This is what he had to say on that question.
Do you see Mondani as the future of the Democratic Party?
No, I think the future of the Democratic Party is going to fall, as far as we're concerned, relative to the House Democratic Caucus and members who are doing a great work all across the country as it relates to our need to both take back control of the House.
Spit it out, Hakeem. So,
make sure that we're communicating to the American
look
people.
Look at Tapper's face.
You what deserve better than the country that you have received. Donnie, do you see Mom?
What is he saying? There was no answer. Again, no answer.
So he basically said no, no answer. The reports are that Obama, who has been campaigning in Virginia, has contacted Mondani and given his, he's like, I'll be here as a sounding board for you at any time. Like, that's the news report. But there's no, yes, go vote for Mondani, no support for him.
It's so weak. It's so unprincipled. There's no conviction whatsoever. It's just whatever is not Republican. I'll just kind of help out that.
Specifically Obama, because remember, during the election, he had this to say about Kamala Harris.
Oh, I remember. We were talking to all those.
Just
for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all and communities. Is that we have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all.
So I'm not going to play the whole clip here because we all remember this. But this is when he goes in, he scolds these black men for not voting for Kamala Harris. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, you have the first black female governor of a southern former Confederate state, okay, Virginia, who could potentially be governor.
She would be the first female governor, the first female black woman. Mm-hmm. And the NAACP endorsed Spanberger. And you got Barack Obama saying nothing. And I am like, where? Well, of course, it's 2025 because none of it makes sense. None of it. It's not consistent. It's not coherent. It is everything down party line and never even conceding that it might be a possibility that this runs counter to our narrative or this runs counter to reality. We just got to stick with the narrative all the time. And, you know, I feel bad for Winsome Sears in that regard. She's
not to let the Republicans off the hook either or Trump off the hook, but he didn't campaign or endorse Winsome Sears either.
No, until the last minute, until they realized, oh, dang, this is going to happen. And Spanberger is going to be our option. And then they kind of came out and he said on Air Force One or something, like,
you've
got Trump or Obama coming out to Virginia for Spanberger. They're all in.
But it's also interesting that if you were to look back at all this, the fact that they had to pull Barack Obama into campaign for them after he didn't pull it for Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
After nobody's asking for Kamala Harris to come out and speak for them. Nobody wants anything to do with the Bidens to come out and speak for them. Obviously, the Clintons, like nobody wants them. And like the only person that maybe might bring people out to vote, which I actually even question if Obama really brings anybody out of significance to vote, especially like if you're going for a younger voter.
The groups that came out for Spanberger when Obama was speaking were they were big. But you're in Virginia. It's,
yeah,
it's all blue up here in Northern Virginia. That's where he was. I think it was Alexandria. I don't know. But it's all blue. I mean,
but I just think it's interesting. Like, that's the only leader that they could come out to, like, what they didn't send. It's not like they even split anything up. It's like, let's send Kamala to Virginia and Obama to New Jersey. Yeah.
Well, like, it's because they have a deep bench for hopefuls, what they hope are hopefuls for 2028, but they have no one leading the party. No one's asking Hakeem Jeffries to come to anything, or Chuck Schumer, or Nancy Pelosi. They have no leadership whatsoever.
Well, and not even AOC, because AOC's too...
Well, she was with Mondani.
Socialist. Yeah, but Mondani, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, like, I mean, notice that the only person that went and stumped for Mondani that was Democrat, like a traditional Democrat, was Kathy Hochul, because she's the governor of the state.
She had to. And it was very, and even in post rally interviews,
she's been like, herself.
No, he's not going to be able to raise taxes or lower taxes. It's just not going to happen. So, you know.
So, yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a rough night.
It's going to be a rough night. But I have my Cheez-Its. Do you want me to tell you that we also have a sandwich bar? I bought hoagie rolls.
I love
and
sandwich
ham
bars.
And turkey and pepperoncinis and all the things. So that's what we're doing for dinner. I'm very excited.
Well, before I wrap us up for today's episode, we would love to hear from you. How do you feel like it's going to go this evening? How are we doing? I am just very curious. Like, I will say this. Traditionally, Republicans do not. Okay, if I'm going to let me be a little bit of an optimist here.
Okay.
Rachel is not convinced. Traditionally, Republicans do not do well in these off-season elections.
Right.
We just don't, which is very annoying, but it's just a matter of fact. And I'm curious if what will happen is that the Democrats will try to spin this as a bellwether for the midterms, get really riled up about, like, this is the message. This is the message that is going to win us the midterms. Double down on a lot of this nonsense. And it doesn't necessarily translate further out, outside of these very blue areas of the country.
But now, I think that's a problem, though, because I don't think they have a cohesive message. Which one are they going to go with? Mamdani's communism or Spanberger's? Like, she doesn't have, she has no, she does not have a policy platform. It's just whatever Republicans are not. You know what I mean? So I think that they're going to be stoked if they sweep tonight, because they're going to feel like they have some kind of momentum. But at the end of the day, what is it? You know, with Trump, it was.
Well, that's my thing, is that I wonder if the win of this election will give him a false sense of confidence.
Yeah.
That's maybe not really going to be sustainable for the midterms.
Yeah.
Also, in that vein, like, the Republicans need to get it together.
Together now. See, they all had the win behind at their backs after Trump, and they were riding high on the, we just keep winning. And then there was some stuff, you know, you've got Venezuela ships blown up, you've got tariffs. You've got the shutdown. You've got Trump saying some stuff. And things started to slow a little bit. And if this doesn't go well tonight, which I don't think it's going to, they need to huddle up and get proactive in the next year. I mean, really proactive. And my one hope.
And proactive on the economy, primarily.
Yes. Like I said, this is why Soran Mandami is winning, because he's telling people, I know you're poor. And that's why
this is the Obama phone all over again.
Socialist Superman who's going to come save you. But my one hope is, I don't think it's going to go well tonight for Republicans. My one hope is that in Virginia, fine. If Spanberger has to win and that's what's going to happen, fine. But I am hoping there are some split ticket Democrats who can handle Spanberger's whatever. She doesn't even, whatever. But they at
her
least.
Her bubbly, effervescent personality.
Well, the fact she doesn't even answer questions, fine. But I hope that they can split ticket and at least go, I'll vote for Spanberger, but Jay Jones is a bridge too far. And that would make me have just a little bit of hope in humanity.
Yeah, the Jay Jones situation.
If he didn't
situation.
Make it into office, because that's just it's so beyond the pale. So come on, Virginia Democrats, get it together.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I want to tell you this, like, if anybody's paying attention to this debate, this Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes thing. They're going to be like, see, they are Nazis. We need to be like, so Jay Jones, he's not that bad. We need to like, you know, of course you want to like murder horrible people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know. Which is why things you do have consequences. And when you bring on someone like that and sit there and let him rebrand himself for 2 hours, I don't know, with no pushback, things happen. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out. I guess follow us on Instagram. We're going to be, you know, sharing all the results, and
especially Rachel will be
eating our feelings.
I'll be editing
together
this episode.
Well, and they don't, their elections are so mean to me because I'm attacked personally by them because it's an assault on my energy levels.
These are
because
a lot of words.
We don't even get results till like 8 or 9 or 10. And by then I've been up since 5:30 because we went and voted at 6. I'm exhausted. So I don't.
Yeah, I've been falling asleep. Like, I've turned into Rachel. I am now going to bed at 5 o'clock in the afternoon since I started going to the gym at 6:30 in the morning.
I mean, I went to bed before President Trump was called. It was called in 2024. I went to bed at 12:30 because I had guests at my house. I was like, good night. I'm going to bed. And I woke up and walked in the back room and Sean looked at me. He's like, it happened. He's the president. I was like, okay.
Okay,
I didn't
good.
Even
go to sleep now.
I'm going to sleep. I'm going back to sleep. Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up for today's episode of Rivera and Reeves. Tell us how you're feeling about these elections and is primarily looking forward. What do you think could be the ripple effect of these elections? We want to hear from you. Drop them in the comments. If this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button so you don't miss another episode. We're on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube. But our primary platform is Substack, where you'll get this video exclusively, ad-free, a day early. And you'll also have access to our community and our monthly episode. Speaking of community, there is currently a chat that is up on our Substack where we are collecting questions from you, because we're going to be answering these questions on our next episode, which is Thursday, because we're here every Tuesday and Thursday in your ear. That's it. That is all we have. Rachel, get some sleep. It's going to be rough night.
Go vote, everyone.
Everybody go vote. And we will see you again on Thursday for another episode. In the meantime, here's a reminder that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. Okay. Bye.